College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss in banter, in recap, and predict some college basketball. Now, obviously, we will start, we could start recap with the game that just recapped. 57-52 Texas Tech over a shorthanded Oklahoma squad. A much-needed win for Texas Tech. Oklahoma has kind of been on fire lately, even though, you know, they had some guys out tonight, too. So we're going to start with recap in general, though. Most of it will be from this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, especially on Saturday. We had a bunch of different, you know, great matchups. Oklahoma stop Alabama's streak. Winning streak, I think it was up to 10, if I believe, if I remember correctly. Kansas just got walloped by a Tennessee team who looked like the Tennessee team that we thought. Purdue closed one out and made it look like just a blowout against my Gophers. There's a variety of stuff that we'll get into, and then, of course, we will preview tomorrow, the next day, all the way through the weekend. When you look at that, that Saturday, there is a ton of rank versus rank. So definitely looking forward to it. We did have the SEC Big 12 challenge. That was fairly interesting. So we'll get to that in just a moment. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. But you know, you don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeadoperadio and download the show right there, listen to the browser. If you want to listen to this show on a variety of platforms, you can find the College Ball Show under the Ropeadope Radio Podcast at Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really all across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head out over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's basketball, football, boxing, baseball, everything in between. One more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial once you sign up. There's no annual contract, of course. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. Just for signing up, you get a 7-day free trial of HBO Max. If you sign up for the Max package, that'll include HBO Max plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11. That's AT&T TV Now, live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host Marshall and see how he's doing on a late night after dark version of the College Ball Show. But don't think we're going to talk about something other than college ball the way I introduced that.
I love
because what you were gonna say. That's why I said it, because it was gonna get weird all of a sudden if you started talking about girls' high school basketball too. You know what I mean? So I didn't know where to go. I kind of trapped myself.
Can we just be the Pac-12 after dark? You know, games like we used to watch when we became friends back in 07. I was a huge ASU fan with the good old Jeff Pendergraf in the post. But yeah. You know, the generation under us, Chris, because we're, you know, young and successful in our 30s. You know, it's the team is back. That's the quote to say that this said team is back. I'm going to start off my random take with the show of say Mizzou's back, baby. Like, the Missouri Tigers are finally a good basketball team again. And I say that because they're 11-3 on the year. They're ranked 12th. They're having themselves a really nice season. They're not in first place in the SEC, but they're having a respectable year where I can actually lead off a podcast talking about them. And I'm bragging a little bit because they played against TCU on Saturday. TCU was up 12 with 2:40 to go, and Mizzou won in overtime 102-98. It was just one of those games where TCU shot lights out. TCU deserved to win. TCU had played Kansas earlier in the week when the score was 20-19 at half. And then Kansas scored a couple more points. I think they won like 53-48 or something. So TCU, okay, yeah, you played Kansas tough. They were up 5 on Mizzou. They were up 43-38 at half. And then in the second half, every time Mizzou cut the lead to 1 or tied the game, TCU went on a run. Mizzou tried to answer, TCU went on a run. Mizzou kept feeding their big, TCU would answer. So down 12, 2:40 to go, the boys didn't quit, hit a couple of clutch threes. I had a couple of turnovers, hit a huge three with about 8 seconds to go. Actually, they missed a free throw. They were down. I think they were down. They missed a free throw. Ball rimmed out. They were down three, Chris, and they with like 20 seconds to go. They went in for a shot after a missed free throw. They tried to dunk it. The dunk was like hit the back of the rim, shot out, tipped a pass out. Guy hit a three, going to overtime and win. So, again, I know it's just one game, but it's nice to see a team back. And when you come back and win a game, when you're down 12 with 2.5 minutes to go, that's one of those games that can maybe motivate you more later in the season. That's one of those wins that can maybe give you confidence for later in the year of like, hey, shit, guys, like, hey, well, I know we're down 10 now, but remember what we did against TCU. I'm hoping it's one of those games that just kind of shows that the team has potential. Again, it's nice to talk about this team because we've done the podcast for 9 years. I've been a fan for 9 years of Mizzou basketball, and I've probably talked about them more right now than in the past 4 years combined. So a nice, gritty come-from-behind win. And I'm going to go and say it right now on February 1st. Missouri will make the Sweet 16. Book it in the our
and Porter Junior's not now. Coming back or anything like that, right?
Well, you know, the Nugget seemed to he seems to get on the shit list
because he never played.
And his brother's been cut by like 2 NBA teams. Can we get the Porter brothers back? the crazy stat of the night was. Pinson, who is Missouri's guard, scored 36 points. That is the first time a Missouri player has scored 35 points or more in a game since 2006. That I couldn't believe. Because have they been a great program, like blue blood? No, but they've always been like respect. One had some good players. But yeah, first time in 15 years, a guy has gone over 35. So I'll end my Mizzou rant, but it was a positive one. I'm happy they won. That was a nice come from behind win, which hopefully motivates him. To the Sweet 16, which I'm calling right now. I'm locking that baby in. Mizzou will make the Sweet 16, period.
Yeah. All right. I like that. That's yeah. It's February 1st making that. I like that, dude. I thought you were going to say make the tournament, but I'm not sure. no, yeah, they are. They
shots
are,
being fired they, tonight.
And they have some they have an interesting game coming up that we'll talk about a little bit later as well. Villanova held off Seton Hall 80-72. Baylor and Auburn was a good game at half. And then Baylor kind of just jumped on them and then jumped on them again to stay unbeaten 84-72. Gonzaga, not much there. 97-75, not much to talk about. Here's an upset, Virginia Tech over Virginia 65-51, and they didn't have one of their best players too in that game. Virginia Tech early in the first half shooting 2 of 8 from 3-point line, 8 for 21. Second half 13 of 19 from the field and 7 for 9 from 3-point land. So you know, we were talking about shots fired. Here comes one. Buckle up. We were just talking about last week how Virginia is this, you know, this offensive juggernaut this year. They put up 51 points. My goodness gracious. Texas Tech, speaking of offense, beat LSU, who, you know, looks good offensively. They got to kind of put it together. But they're doing pretty good this year overall. Florida, who's really coming back to the field here, who weren't looking good early, they get a win. In the Big 12 SEC Challenge, 85-80 on the road. And there is some, you know, interesting stuff beyond Alabama being up front or up top in the SEC. We'll get to that. Like I mentioned, Tennessee just destroyed Kansas 80-61. And actually, that stat, Kansas hasn't lost 4 of its last 5 games. It's the first time, or they have lost 4 of their 5 last games, or five last game, I can't talk. But that's been 30 years is my whole point there. 30 freaking years since that's happened. Gonzaga has won 14 consecutive games by double digits. That's the longest streak within a season by an AP number one since the 90-91 UNLV Running Rebels. They won 19 games in a row by 10 or more in a light conference as well. That's pretty freaking crazy. You know, Kansas, obviously we talked about last week how, yeah, Big Ten top to bottom is the best, but man, the Big 12 is starting to make some noise, especially that top heavy, maybe four teams or whatever. And just, this was actually a tweet from Saturday, including Friday and Saturday. This is like Saturday at 7 o'clock. The last 24 hours in the top 20, not even top 25, Alabama, Virginia, West Virginia, excuse me, Virginia, Kansas, Iowa, Wisconsin, Florida State, all freaking lost. So there was a ton of upsets as well, or just maybe not upsets, but just rank versus rank, and you got beat.
Well, and just to get onto that quickly, one thing that just kind of hit me, could we for once, because I won't just throw a random question like I do sometimes attack you. I'll set this up for you so we can talk it out quickly. But normally, wouldn't you say, you would say that like a top tier well-known team is always at worst like an 8 or 9 seed, like at worst. But this year, with, if you're looking just at how like the seeding is set up and the records of some of these teams, you're looking at a year where like a Duke and Kentucky and a Kansas could all be like a 12 or 13 potential seed, which is super weird to think about. But I mean, if you look at Duke's resume, Kansas's resume, Kentucky's been going up a little bit, we might have that weird situation where like a blue blood school this year makes the tournament, but is a double digit seed, which you almost never ever see. I think that would be just kind of fascinating just to see a Kentucky or Duke or Kansas school with a double-digit next sim in March Madness.
Yeah, Michigan State is, like, going to make the tournament.
Or Sparty, maybe, too.
Yeah. I mean, they have some good wins or whatever early, so that's keeping them alive. But it's getting, you know, it's getting down to it.
Think how weird it would be to fill out a bracket this year where all the 10 seeds are like Kansas, like Kentucky, right. Michigan State. Like, I feel
and then
like
they go VCU on it.
In.
Watch, they go VCU on it, and they're all in the Elite Eight or something.
No shit. Yeah, that would be something. But to tie into the games you were speaking of, I think that Auburn is going to make the tournament. I know when they had their point guard back, they've become a different team. And I actually thought they played respectable at first half against Baylor. I think they were down 5 at half. It wasn't a bad performance at all. I know in the second half, Baylor kind of ran away and punched him a couple times and had a nice double-digit lead. But, again, a great win for Baylor. Auburn's been scoring about 90 points a game for a handful of games, and Baylor shut them down. So, nice win for Baylor again at home. To jump ahead a little bit, as you just said, for Iowa, who played the following day, they're going through a little bit of a lull. And I heard a couple of points just from, like, I think it was ESPN or Big Ten News, and they made the point of that, you know, every year Iowa potentially has a great offense, but that McCaffrey, their head coach, doesn't coach defense. And if you look at the losses Iowa's had, Chris, yes, they do have Luka Garza. They do have about 2 or 3 three-point shooters who statistically shoot from 30 to 40%. But, yeah, the thing that's going to keep this team from being a Sweet 16 or a deeper team is their defense. This is a team who, against the Gophers, I mean, this, I believe they scored over 85 points in overtime. You just lost to Illinois, the game I was speaking of, where it was a little bit of a lower scoring in the second half, but Illinois' defense clamped down better than Iowa's. So, we have an Iowa team with the start of the year was looking as one of the top two teams in the country with Gonzaga. And they're going through that lull of their stretch where, hey, if they're not hitting their threes like crazy and teams find a way to keep Garza to 20 and 10, maybe like the people are saying, right, like maybe McCaffrey really isn't a defensive laced coach. And that could come back to bite them. A team who was getting all the stock early is losing stock now. And that's a great win for Illinois to put on their resume against Iowa.
Yeah, now Illinois, who stumbled a little bit, is starting to make a run, as we are going to, at some point here soon, go through the different key conferences, standings and stuff. You start looking at that, you go, wow. And just to add on, not trying to mess with your Missouri squad, but since the last time we did the show, Cooper, that night when they beat Auburn, beat Mizzou, we talked about it, it's a 7 or 8 games back, now I think 7 games back. Cooper, 28 points, 8 boards, 7 assists, and that dude gets up the freaking court really, really fast, man. He is really fun to watch, just in general. But you're right, Mizzou is.
And just to tie this bow together, I do think that I think we're on the same page. I think Auburn makes the tournament. I know they're like bottom tier now, but right. They have an easier second half of their schedule. That'd be a fun team where, I mean, I don't think they're going to win the national title, but if you just want to simply bet on some games, Auburn with that guy back, they're going to be cooking, and they might not score 90 points every game, but that's a team that's going to get on a nice run here and probably finish top half of the SEC easily and probably have a great chance of making the tournament. If maybe they're a bubble team now, Chris, but I'd be shocked if they don't end up making it the way they've been playing of late.
Yeah, that's a good call. I'd have to agree with that. And we were talking about that last week. Let's see how much damage they can do in that time frame. It's obviously not going to be easy, but, they could definitely do it. Texas Tech, like I said, won tonight. Kind of a crazy game against West Virginia, the way that closed out. Texas Tech is the first team over the last decade to only turn the ball over twice, score 85 points and lose. But part of it is West Virginia did not miss a field goal attempt in the last like 9.5 minutes. They were 10 for 10 down the stretch, which is pretty freaking crazy to say the least. Just bouncing off Texas Tech that with the win tonight, that McClung or whatever his name is, Mac McClung, this dude, where's the stat on him? 22 in the last 7 games heading into the night, 22 points, shooting 43% from the 3-point land and 51% overall. It seemed that we got to mention, we start talking about it a little bit last week, but Oklahoma, dude. I mean, the Sooners look pretty good against Baylor without one of their key guys, but I'm sorry, the Cowboys, Oklahoma State. But freaking Oklahoma, dude. They have been on a tear lately, even though, you know, they lost. But they had a couple of key guys out, including Reeves, who they had in that game prior to that. But the largest single jump in since, like, 89, I think it's tied for it from 24 to 9. And it's well worth it. I mean, 3 straight regular season wins over top 10 opponents. First team to do that since 2014 Michigan. And I think that Michigan team, if I remember correctly, went to the finals and lost to Louisville. Maybe that's the wrong date. But 4 wins over, just in January alone, 4 wins over top 10, not ranked, Marshall, top 10 teams. First team in the regular season month to do that since 1974, NC State. This Oklahoma squad, like I said, I mean, they're fun to watch, and that's what – in Oklahoma State's pretty good too. Like these other teams, we could talk about Texas, who right now is going through some COVID stuff. They had a bunch of their key guys out, so it kind of makes tomorrow match up a little funky, and also Oklahoma getting that big victory, though, with Reeves, 23 points and a late field goal, 80-79. So, you know, it's a road game, so they're like, hey, we'll take it. But even tonight – Texas Tech, they didn't have Reeves and they didn't have another starter. But Oklahoma, dude, they're playing pretty damn good, man.
They are. They're probably the second best team in the Big 12 right now. Obviously, they just did play Texas since our last show. Texas did lose. It was a really close game. Obviously, Shaka Smart being out does you no favors. Obviously, in a year like this where I've experienced it myself, I know I just coach high school basketball, but COVID has been a mess for us. We were all out as coaches, and it throws everything out of rhythm.
And the 4 other players they had, too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, same thing. Like, you know, and you can't really afford to, like, put a team on pause like they did for our high school, and now we're playing 4 games in 5 days. In college, you got to keep going, because if your team goes on pause, it's, I'm not saying you can't do it, but it makes things a grind moving on. So obviously losing, not having Shaka Smart there, maybe if they do, maybe they beat Oklahoma. But nonetheless, that was a close game. And what really surprises me, to add on to this Big 12 chat, is the fact that I just looked at my phone and the standings say that Texas Tech is ranked 7th in the Big 12. Yet, if you had just went off press clippings and wins and just looked at the resume, like, I would have strongly bet that they would be like a top three team. So, I mean, I would assume as of right now, Texas Tech is a tournament bound team for March Madness, I would figure. And yet you're 7th in the Big 12. Like, that's kind of eye opening to me. I didn't think that they would be that low. So maybe I'm giving them more credit than they deserve, Chris, but I've seen them play a lot of primetime games. They've had quite a few nice wins. That McClung has had a couple of buzzer beaters himself. Are you with me? Do you think, does that show how great of a conference it is, where your co-host believes that the 7th best team in the conference is a tournament lock? Or am I maybe giving them a little too much credit for what I've seen from them this year?
No, I think that kind of plays into that. And when I said top five, it had to go lower, because I actually did. I thought they were a little higher at the time, too. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy, because they actually have they have a 1-point loss to Kansas back in December. They do have a win over Oklahoma, a close win or loss to Oklahoma State. They beat Texas straight up with all their guys, so that helped them jump up there. And then, like you said, that 68-60, that was close against Baylor. They did have a pause, and they lost on a buzzer beater, so that kind of dropped them out of the top 10 or whatever. But they've had a tough schedule just off what I was talking about. And if you look at down the stretch, Texas, Kansas, Baylor, West Virginia, obviously just now tonight getting a win over Oklahoma, even without Reeves, still a win is a win. Like we just talked about Texas, they got screwed, you know, but hey, that's what happens when you got four players out. But yeah, I mean, that kind of plays into it. It really does. It's a pretty damn deep conference. And obviously they are, you know, I think they're actually above Kansas when push comes to shove, because they beat them. Or no, wait, that's right. They just lost them.
Kansas is 5-4 and Texas Tech is 4-4. So in the standings, you have one more win over the team. But again, if we're talking just numbers for resumes for March Madness, I'm believing you would favor Texas Tech over Kansas, obviously.
Well, mine's saying 5-4 for Texas Tech. That's why I was a little confused.
Oh, okay. I must have just, the scores update must not have had. That's the app I always use. So fair enough. Okay.
So, but I mean, that kind of plays it. You got Baylor feeling like they're going to run away with it at 8-0. Texas needs to get those players back. I mean, the coach back too. But even without those players, you know, I think you need the players back too. They're 5-2, 2.5 games out. Oklahoma, we've been talking about a lot, 3 games. West Virginia, 3.5. Who, they haven't even played their best ball for a stretch yet. In Oklahoma State, at 4-4 is a pretty good cup. They're 11-4. So, I mean, I'm telling you, maybe it's not even top heavy now, but you know, we can basically guarantee. And you know what? Someone in, I forgot to mention this now that we're on the Big 12, someone messaged me in Facebook Messenger, in one of the chats where I, or in one of the groups that I post a show in. And they said, well, don't forget Kansas. And we kind of forgot the end of last year in many ways. We've talked about this off air. But Kansas didn't win the Big 12 last year. They had actually gone 14 years in a row, and they didn't win it last year. We just kind of forgot. They didn't actually win it, because remember, the conference tournament was just about to start. But technically, the reign ended last year, and I didn't even think about that, but it actually did, as far as, you know, the regular season. So it'd be back-to-back years that Kansas isn't going to win the Big 12.
And that's a beautiful thing to me. I think that's a great stat to share and one I will not shed a tear over.
Kansas
so, yes,
fan,
you're right.
He's North Carolina fan, for anybody new, just so you know. Keep going. Hey.
Yeah. And then to wrap up my Big 12 two cents, the Oklahoma State Cowboys, who we've not talked about yet, who are right in the middle of the Big 12, like tied for fourth or so, have the number one NBA prospect on every NBA, like, big time guys board in Cade Cunningham. So we've talked a lot about this conference, and we're not even mentioning how who's supposed to be the number one draft pick in the NBA next year is on a team as well. And that's a team who's had a little bit of a, I mean, Cunningham's been out with injuries, and they've had a little bit of a bump, I think, with some COVID or just trying to get everything pieced together. But on a given night, who's to say this kid who's supposed to be the best player in the league can't go off and win you some games? So,
and they grind, like, too. I've seen them twice or three times this year, especially that Baylor game. They grind. I mean, that they were right. They were ahead. They were leading that Baylor game for some of it.
With Cunningham out.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a strong conference. I think you could argue a lot of ways back and forth with the Big Ten, because I think the Big Ten is right on that point. Obviously, the Big Ten has more teams, which maybe makes it a little more expandable. The Big 12 is loaded. It'll be really weird to see the Big 12 tournament, I'm sure, normally in like some Oklahoma or Texas City, without a bunch of fans, because that's just one of those tournaments where you always see Kansas fans invade a city and take over. So, I mean, I just hope we simply get a conference tournament weekend, because that's when everything shut down last year. But the Big 12 tournament should be a lot of fun to watch. Normally, it's kind of a guarantee of, hey, Chris, let's do a conference tournament bracket. Well, the Big 12 is pointless because you know KU is going to make it. This year, that's definitely not the case. Not saying they couldn't make it, but there's no guarantee that Kansas would be in the semifinals this year of the Big 12. And speaking of, as we transition slightly up north, where the cold weather does exist, I'm happy I moved to Texas. Speaking of the Big Ten, where you could argue which is a deeper conference, I truly think you saw a great point of that conference's depth from Wisconsin and Penn State. My best friend is a huge, huge Badger fan, and him and his dad were watching the game like they always like to. And he was like, you know, what do you think about Penn State? And I was like, dude, I know their record's like 5-8 on the year, but that is a gritty ass team who's had a lot of heartbreaking losses occur this year. And Wisconsin, by all means, is a top 15 to top 20 team. They've been ranked probably inside the top 20 all year.
And they've been playing really good lately, too,
Yeah, they have. And they never have momentum in that game at all. So if we're going to talk about the depth that the Big 12 deserves for credit, I got to give credit to Penn State, because, again, I know that you could say, Marshall, look at the win-loss record. Okay, fair is fair. Their win-loss record is trash. But if you look at their losses and go a little deep into numbers, not analytics, but just simply score differentials, this is a team who lost to Indiana on the road by 1 point in OT. They've had some heartbreaking losses. They blew a game to Seton Hall where they were up 12, and actually they were up 18 in the first half. They came from behind down 18 in the first half to beat Seton Hall. So this is a credible team. And Wisconsin, I don't think ever came within 5 or 7 points within the lead in the second half. Like, this Penn State team said, nah, dude, we're good. They can shoot from the outside. They play hard. They've always had a couple of talented guards for the past couple of seasons. So, to give the Big 12, Big 10 credit, you have a team who, again, is, I believe, is conference record like 3-5, like a miserable win-loss record, and just pretty much outplayed and just smoked the Badgers in not even a fluke of a game, Chris.
Yeah, dude, they're 6-7 overall and 3-6. The top to bottom, I think, is playing out. But I still go back to, we're going to have to keep an eye on this for the next 6 weeks and actually all the way to April, because if you look at the top, let's say, three or four teams, and maybe I need to push that to five, in the Big 12 and in the Big 10, you just wonder. I mean, Michigan State, Baylor, like, you start to, and obviously it's going to move even more in the Big 10, because Illinois had just dropped down, now they're up. I mean, man, I may figure, you know, just because Baylor's so damn strong, not taking any away from Michigan, though they've only lost one to the Gophers, but this is really kind of playing out how we're talking about, but let's keep an eye on that as far as the top tier, top heavy, you could call it. Which is better, top heavy? We know pound for pound, the full, well, that would be pound for pound, but the full, you know, top to bottom is Big Ten. And Illinois, like I mentioned, they've got a couple in a row now. They're 3-2 on the road. They're 7-3, a buck and a half out. So, they're now second. And I think they were just fourth or fifth. And that's how quick it can go. And now Ohio State is another one that struggled, looked pretty funky for a little bit. Now they're in the top 10. And they're 8-4, and Iowa 6-3. Purdue's been on a roll, dude, and they rolled the Gophers like the last maybe 6 minutes of that game, made it look like the whole game was a blowout. After having a really bad start, I got to give them credit. They're 7-4, and that Wisconsin team that we like, they're sitting there tied for fifth place. I mean, that's freaking crazy. And don't, watch out for Rutgers because they're 6-6 and they're 3-3 on the road and they got their point guard back.
Yeah. And speaking of Ohio State and props to Penn State, earlier in the week before they played Wisconsin this past weekend, Penn State lost by 4 points, 83-79 at Ohio State. So when the second worst team in a huge division or conference is losing like neck and neck close games. And I mean, it's a super fun conference. This conference tournament will be very fun to watch. I think besides Michigan, who clearly has been the top team in the Big Ten so far, you could have a 3-hour bar chat of who's the top five teams in your opinion as a fan, just put away the win loss record, which is super close anyways, but you could have a great sit down and have like 3 or 4 beers and like present your case for who you think are the top three teams in the Big Ten. And you could probably get a lot of different opinions, Chris, that are all going to be valid points. And just, Ohio State at some point, to me, I thought they were a trash team who had a rough half court offense, and they kind of were. And Illinois was going through a rut too, and they looked miserable. And now both of those teams are in the top five. And, now for downward stock, Iowa's been trending the wrong way a little bit. Purdue, who was actually pretty rough to start off the year, is now trending up. It's really a kind of, I guess you just have to, when you're in such a difficult conference, you can't let your 2-game losing streak become 3 or 3 become 4. You kind of have to realize, and obviously no coach ever wants to lose, but no one's going to run the table in that conference. So if you do lose a game, you got to protect your home court the next game or so on and so forth. I did see that Wisconsin actually plays Penn State at home. They're doing kind of with the goofy schedule this year. I see that game's actually tomorrow, so maybe it's some payback. But we could do our own podcast on the Big Ten just because you live in Minnesota. I was born there. We know those teams. Your Gophers are still obviously fighting for credibility to make the tournament too because they've had a lot of great wins. But that is just a punching bag of wins and losses and just the back and forth scrap all year. It's been a really super fun conference to watch. And I need to watch more Michigan. I've watched a lot of teams, but I've not seen much Michigan games yet. I need to get on that.
And hopefully that's not the Gophers' claim to fame this year. Like, well, who beat them? That's right, the Gophers did. No, but they're on a 2-game losing streak, but they're in the tournament just off the quality of wins. But sure. Yeah. They, like you said, to make that 3-4, they got to play. They just played on the road. Purdue, now they got to play on the road against Rutgers. So it's going to be interesting. Back to that conversation, the debate, the 3 or 4 beer thing and sat down. As long as it wouldn't happen on the couch in my living room, because you just fall asleep if we had that debate. As long as that debate didn't take place in my living room on my couch – just kidding. That's an inside joke. Alabama, though, still unbeaten in conference. You know, they obviously lost the game, in the SEC Big 12 stuff. But Alabama 9-0. But Florida really has been coming on of late. They won 4 in a row. They're kind of looking like Florida. They're now ranked 22. They're 6-3. LSU 6-3. Tennessee 5-3, who got that huge win over Kansas. I'll bring that up because I know you like it. Missouri, who's going to make the Sweet 16, is 4-3. They've only lost in conference. They were undefeated before that, though. Arkansas is scrappy at 5-4, actually. They're a very scrappy team. And then we talked about how Auburn, we like them to just kind of sneak in to the tournament. Any other items? You know, we thought we were going to be able to get something going on the Pac-12, but those games that got postponed with UCLA and Oregon, two in a row now. One was Saturday. One was supposed to be tomorrow. They're both freaking canceled. Or one was supposed to be today. They're both canceled. It was just like, oh, wow, that's the third time. The third time that that game has been canceled. So we can't really talk too much. I mean, USC's chilling at 7-2, but we can't really – we got to kind of see it play out there. And there will be something in the Big East that we can talk about, and that is that Xavier-Villanova, if you look at the standings in the matchup that's coming up soon.
Yeah, I don't know why I've fallen in love with this conference the last couple of years, but I enjoy it, so I'll give my Big East 2 cents and throw it to you. Clearly, I'm not a Nova fan. That's not a team I cheer for. But obviously, they have one of the best coaches in the
land. That goes back to that North Carolina thing, guys, just so you know.
Yeah. But before then, I always kind of like Jay Wright after that buzzer beater when I was hungover on opening day games. I still hold a grudge. But fair is fair. A sport fan should. But Villanova, I'll give them credit. They've not played as many games as a lot of other teams in the conference, but they've now been beating up the teams who are top tier of the conference. So Nova deserves that ranking. When I've watched Nova games, I don't think they play a whole lot of defense, but they seem to outscore people very easily. So I don't think this is a diehard defensive team, but if you want to get into a running battle with them, which they appear to want to play, you're going to have to shoot lights out because they have a really good shooting team. I'm sure this is another situation where Jay Wright has three or four guards who can jack up threes really well, and they're a bitch to guard on defense just because it's like kind of a utility-based offense where every man can kind of attack you off the dribble. And I know that's I'm giving a little bit of high praise there, but if you look at the record and the sustainability he's had there, it's hard to argue. For the rest of the conference, they're my boys, but they've been in kind of a funk. They've been winning games, but at the start of the year, their offense was fun to watch. They're averaging 85 points a game. They're shooting 30-35% for team on three percentage. And they've just really been struggling of late. They can't seem to play a full 40 minutes. We just talked about how Penn State, for example, beat Wisconsin in a full 40-minute game. Or a lot of these games we've talked about today have been full efforts. Creighton's been playing at good for segments. But around this time of the year, normally, Chris, you see a team who will offensively improve. Not necessarily win every game, but you make offensive improvement. Creighton's been going backwards, so that kind of scares me as a fan. I've always just kind of liked their offense, but I'm not sure why they're backward progressing. And unfortunately, Providence, their team I enjoy cheering for, man, they're just Providence can – I feel they should be a tournament team, but they've had the bad end of many games this year. They had – a game they've just, I think they have four losses that are all within by a point or a buzzer beater. So when you see Providence is ranked seventh in the Big East and you're thinking, what the hell is this guy talking about? If you look at their losses, you know, sometimes Chris teams are just cursed for the year. This is their year where they've had a, Xavier beat them on a buzzer beater. They just lost this past Saturday to Georgetown, who's not a great team, but their point guard, David Duke, who's like their stud, got fouled with like no time on the clock left, made one free throw, missed a second, lose by one. So it's a really fun conference to watch. I'm not going to say that it matches up with the firepower teams of the Big 12 and the Big 10, but if you're looking for competitive games like the Big 10 and Big 12 offer on a weekly night, they offer it because Villanova is going to be a tournament team. Seton Hall, in my opinion, should make the tournament, or they're on the bubble with Lenardi right now. Creighton should be in the tournament. I hope Providence sneaks in somehow. And then you have teams like St. John's, Butler, Xavier, and Marquette, who are all kind of middle of the tier. So again, it's not the big blue blood names, but it's been a super fun conference to watch because on a given night, you rarely have blowout games.
Yeah, and there's just good college basketball programs. Here's something kind of random. This is by Myron Metcalf, a local guy. He tweeted this per ESPN stats info. Iowa State was down. They ended up losing 95-56, but they were down 41 to Mississippi State. And he's like, they're trying to avoid their worst loss in school history, a 41-point loss to Grinnell, something called Grinnell, in 1910. So they were really looking to set some history, no doubt about it. Tomorrow night, number 2 Baylor travels to number 6 Texas. We still don't have much word as far as are those players going to be back for Texas. It doesn't seem that way. Maybe playing some of these games tough can help their depth, so when those guys come back, you know, they can hit the ground running again, because they were hot there for a while. Maybe, maybe not, but you gotta like Baylor, maybe in general, but you gotta like Baylor with that kind of shorthanded thing going on. Michigan State needs a big win here pretty bad at 8-6. They're 10.5-point underdogs at Iowa. I don't think that's going to be the case, but Purdue and Maryland is another one of those hardcore barn burner type things. St. John's is, speaking of the Big East, St. John's is better than a 11-7 looks. They got, you know, maybe Villanova will look ahead to their game, big game coming up. But on Thursday, number 7 Ohio State against number 8 Iowa. The winner will probably not be ranked in the top 10. I'm going to pick Iowa to bounce back in that one. We've had a string of really good games, at least one ranked versus ranked on Fridays. That's not the case this Friday, but Maryland and Penn State, we just talked about that hardcore barn burner. And real quick, number 10, this will all leave off. You could talk about some of the games I just mentioned or whatever else, but then we'll kind of catch up to the first big game on Saturday at 11 o'clock Central on ESPN. Number 10, Alabama, going against your squad, number 18, Missouri.
Well, so I see that Mizzou plays Kentucky on Wednesday, and then Mizzou plays Alabama at home on Saturday. That's you're going through it. You just took a hell of a win away from TCU. Then you got to host Calipari, whose boy's been playing better. And then you got to play Alabama. I hope they beat Kentucky. Bama's going to be a dogfight, but if by some chance you could beat Bama, that I don't know. I'll be optimistic and hope they do. Hopefully beat Kentucky. Don't be looking ahead, but I think this will really be a good test just to see the team they are. Again, I called them Sweet 16, so I'm gonna stick to it. I thought that their on-ball defense against TCU wasn't the best, so I guess I'll be able to see it, because as we did mention last podcast, Bam is really good because they shoot the three ball really well. And if the on-ball defense against TCU wasn't that good, you might want to be ready, Chris, to play defense against an Alabama team, because their numbers haven't lied much this year. They're really good at shooting the three. So for Missouri, that'll be a very tough test. You mentioned that later in the week also Ohio State plays Iowa. That should be a pretty fun game. If you're Iowa, you got to kind of get your ducks back in a row. Ohio State's been playing better than you for the past handful of, well, probably 2 or 3 weeks. So will Iowa kind of get back on track? Will they have a game where Luka Garza gives you a 25-12 and their side pieces hit threes? Or are they going to have another stumbling game where their defense lacks? So, again, it kind of just becomes natural, but all these games start to get more fun and more fun as these weeks go on, because you start to see these conference pictures develop. So, you know, all these games where now you're seeing rankings or teams battling for position places. I mean, on a regular schedule, the games don't change as much as we move on, Chris, but as you get closer and closer to March, all these games with importance start to matter a bit more. And as we mentioned at the start of the show, there's a lot of blue blood schools who are fighting to make the tournament this year. So a regular game where you think a Kansas or a Kentucky or a Sparty is a guaranteed win. Those teams and other teams like them that are fighting to make the tournament, so it's only going to make maybe the regular televised games a little more fun to watch. But I'll take Iowa to win at home against Iowa State. What does your gut say on that game, my friend?
Didn't I pick Iowa on Thursday you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear you. Okay, good call. Good call. All right. Yeah, so I now would you so take it them with
been
the 10
it
points?
It would have been a bad call if I went the opposite way, is what you're telling me.
I didn't say that. So yeah, I think we're on the same page there. Now let me ask you for a little Big Ten quick chat here. Is Sparty gonna make it? Like, you look at the win loss record. I mean, you know, you got the one of the best coaches of all time. You've always pretty much always had a good team. Is this like a legit just down year for Sparty, or are they gonna maybe have a second half surge to actually try and make the tournament?
I'm actually right now, because we got to get some of these preview and predictions going here too. I'm looking, they're not now, last week they were literally hanging on in bracketology and they no longer are. I feel like they're going to, yes, I do feel like they're going to. They have a somewhat of a young squad, a couple of the guys that have kind of moved on the last couple of years. I think it's kind of caught up to them. Because a lot of those guys were juniors, at least, if not seniors. So they got to have them for a while. But, yeah, as we know, this year, young teams are kind of screwed for the most part. That's the way it looks like, even if you are a Duke or North Carolina. Not to mention, you know, North Carolina is going to do the same thing. But they actually are starting to move up in the ACC. But, yeah, I do actually think Michigan State's going to make it. They definitely need a big win or two here just to get them going. And maybe they'll need to win a game or two, you know, and make it to the semifinals of the conference final or of the conference tournament, if we're actually going to have a conference tournament, because there are talks about why even risk that for COVID stuff. You know, you play, then all of a sudden, you know, you can't play the next week. It's kind of funky. And then if you do have some positives test at the end of the season, at least you have a 2-week break there to get that kind of figured out. And also, it's kind of creating a bubble that lasts, you know, 10 days, 12 days before. I could see small schools maybe doing it because they got to – that's how they judge to get in. But there is something to be said there. But we'll talk about that down the line. We'll also talk about, you know, the first weekend is actually 5 days, not 4 days. Like we mentioned last week, we didn't necessarily get into that debate, but we'll talk about that down the line too. These are things that we're going to have to keep an eye on down the stretch with this COVID thing. Let's get back to predicting games though, and then we'll get this puppy shut down. Number 12, hosting Illinois, hot as ever, hosting number 19, Wisconsin. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, so how many games? Okay, they're getting hot. They're getting hot. So how many games in a row? They did lose there. They lost. Okay. I'm looking at Illinois and I'm thinking, man, is Wisconsin now gonna take a jump here after taking an L that they probably shouldn't have, obviously, even though we talked about scrappy teams, but they obviously should have won the game. I'm kind of feeling like, and I don't like the feeling, being a Gopher fan, but I'm feeling like the Badgers are going to go into Champaign and be popping the bottles after the game.
Well, Wisconsin, to me, they seem to not string too many bad games together in a row. Like, they got their butt kicked by Ohio State last weekend and then came back and whooped up on Maryland. And then they now just got beat by Penn State. Okay, so you get to re-avenge your Penn State loss again. But I feel like they're in a big game again. Now they're going to come back and win this one. So I'll take the Badgers to win. They don't seem to lose big games two times in a row.
And I'm losing you right now. You're on, but it just –
But they're definitely
– Oh, there we go. Okay, sorry. I couldn't hear you there for about 5, 6 seconds. We're good to go. Plus they got a big that can stretch – Illinois big out. He can bring him to the 3-point line, and that helps majorly.
Yeah, and I just think Wisconsin's a top 20 team. So you're probably not going to lose. I mean, and Iowa, or excuse me, Illinois just beat Iowa. Like normally in college basketball, you're going to have your highs and lows, but normally it comes time where you've won a lot of big games in a row. You're due for a loss. Just the statistically proven, these college kids are going to have an off night. And I think Wisconsin might be a little more focused. I'll take the Badgers to win that game. Do you think that my Missouri prediction that Saturday morning has a chance against Bama, or is Bama going to walk into Columbia and just start busting threes and call it a night in at 1 p.m?
I mean, they are coming off that loss, so maybe they'll be a little pissed off. But maybe that's just them playing outside of the conference too. I don't know. But I like Mizzou to get that done. Oklahoma State, we talked about them being scrappy. I wonder where Texas is by that time frame. In 5 days, they got to be able to have their guys back by then. Otherwise, if not, Oklahoma, man, Oklahoma State, I should say, they've won back-to-back games. You know, Arkansas is decent. They won that game. Not a big thing over Iowa State, but they, you know, Texas might have a little losing streak here, and it won't necessarily be their fault, but I'm looking at that game, and I kind of think Oklahoma State's going to win that game unless Texas can get their back to their starting lineup. Oh, here we go. UCLA and USC. Okay. This is kind of like the battle for the top of the Pac-12. Let's hope, knock on wood, by the time we get there, that the game actually happens. Louisville at Virginia. Louisville was making a nice little run. I think they got to second or third in the conference there a second ago. They're not ranked anymore. I think they just cracked the rankings with a good win, and now they're back down. But Louisville, Virginia, that's another good game.
And to give two more for Saturday, because it's a loaded day, Tennessee goes to Kentucky. That's a game where I want to see if Tennessee can win. Their half-court offense, as I've said before, is not that good. That's why they have losses, because their offense, in my opinion, just struggles. And I think statistically you see that too. So can they win at Kentucky? I think if you can win that, you beat Kansas, big deal. Like, Kansas played like shit. So, I mean, I'll give them the credit for the win, but you're beating up on a team who's on a downward spiral. So go to Kentucky and win a game where you're a ranked team and they're not, and I'll have a little more faith in them. So that'll be a fun one to watch. I wouldn't bet on Tennessee. I would probably lean towards Kentucky just because I want to see Tennessee do something, but if Tennessee wins Saturday, that proves me they're a little more back on track. And the granddaddy of them all, I know that the rankings are not the highest this year, but at 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Oh my God! Keep going. It's Duke, North Carolina, isn't it?
It is.
Oh so, wow! Right when you said that, I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that game.
That is a loaded Saturday again, and I know this is a cliche, but it's freaking true because I've lived through this for – I'm 36 years old now. I've been watching Carolina Duke games ever since I was 11. I think I've missed like two or three in the past 25 years. The numbers truly don't matter. And I know that's a cliche people use at times, but it's true because I've seen off-year Carolina teams beat Duke teams ranked in the top five and vice versa. It is a rivalry that is one of the best in the whole country. So even though we're having a better year than Duke right now, it truly doesn't mean a single damn thing. Any team can win that game. And it's proven because every year ESPN always finds these stats where Carolina and Duke have played the last 400 games against each other, and their win-loss records are 200 apiece, and their total points scored are within like 5 points. And you're thinking, how the hell can a team play like 200 plus games and have the point differential be with like +3 and the win losses be even? So it's a cliche, but it's definitely true for that situation. I'll be cheering my butt off that the boys win. I don't miss the games. That's get my favorite drink, just turn on my phone, and I maybe text my buddy, and it's game on. So I hope we win. Carolina has been playing really well of late, but again, I could care less about the win-loss record and the fact we're better than them, because that's proven year after year that it doesn't matter. But obviously, I'll be loudly cheering for them. And if they win, we'll start the show off with that with my rant next week on Tar Heels. If they lose, we'll get to it later in the show.
Well, I mean, I have the mute button, so I'll decide. I remember lining, it was either, I think it was 2 years ago or maybe 3 years ago. I remember lining up those numbers you talked about and looking at the score and everything, and it was freaking freaky, dude.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, it's crazy. But then again, it makes all the sense in the world, right? It's crazy.
True.
Sunday, maybe the last game we'll talk about here, Xavier, who got a win on the road against Cincinnati, which normally is good, not as crazy this year. They did wallop, and I'm talking wallop Oklahoma early. I wonder if that was the full team Oklahoma, 99-77. Ooh, but then they went through a postponement. They didn't have a game from December 9th all the way to December 20th. They lost a really close one to Creighton. Then they got beat up against Seton Hall. Then the Villanova one got mixed up, but they beat St. John's. They barely beat Providence. That's a third time. So this will be the third time that Villanova game scheduled. But then they went through five games they missed in a row. So, but now they've kind of gotten the rust off a little bit. They played on Saturday, 68-55 over a down Butler year or team. Now the postponement was DePaul this one up coming up, so it's not their thing, but at least they got one game to get the rust off. I really want to so badly say the upset's going to be on Sunday against Nova before the Super Bowl at 1:30, probably on Fox, because they usually do the Big East as well. But it's hard because, you know, that rust factor, one game in like a few weeks, you know?
Yeah, and I just don't think, again, the Marshall Rota power ranking of offenses, I don't think that their offense can stick with Nova. I've watched a lot of their games, and I just think that I think they lose by double digits. I feel that their win-loss record is a little misleading. I think that Villanova wins the game easily.
They destroyed Oklahoma. Just don't forget about that.
Yeah, I think Nova walks through that one just from my gut. But my gut's also not right all the time, or else I'd be living in a mansion in San Diego. So, the other nice game that Sunday, aside from Brady versus Mahomes, is actually Iowa goes to Indiana. So, Iowa's got a hell of a week, Chris. You're playing a pissed off Sparty team. You're playing an Ohio State team who's trending on Twitter, and then you got going Indiana, who's a scrappy team who has one of the top 10 scorers in the country, and he averages around 20 a game. I think it's like Trace Howard. And Indiana is a team who doesn't play the most prettiest basketball. They're slow. Their offense isn't the smoothest, but they're definitely not a joke of a squad. So this is a hell of a week for Iowa. You just got punched in the mouth by Illinois, and you got, again, pissed off Sparty, Ohio State, go to Indiana. That is a – when we do our podcast a week from now, they'll play all three of those games. It'll be a good gut check. I just said that Tennessee needs a gut check test to win at Kentucky. Iowa's going to get three punches this week, and we'll see if they can punch back. But that is a grind. And if they come out this week going 2-1, I'd say we're back to them trending upwards. If you go 1-3, now you really got to start to get the troops back on the same page before this thing lingers too much longer and starts to really hurt your seeding for March Madness.
There we have it. And we are going to fit under the hour mark barely. Why don't you close down the show for us, sir?
So on that note, Saturday is a loaded day. You got freaking you can start doing your pregame shopping for the Super Bowl. Get your drink of choice. We also got we got Mizzou, Bama. We listed like eight games, and that's not even mentioning like the other mid-major conferences, rather just random teams that you can enjoy. So hopefully Mizzou wins, hopefully Carolina wins, and hopefully everyone hits their Super Bowl prop bets, which are always fun. On that note, stay safe, wear a mask, enjoy blessed times with your loved ones. Hopefully if you're trying for a vaccine, you can get it. We always appreciate your love and support. The boys are out tonight. Peace.